Events of subsequent days followed a certain predictable pattern. The English suspected the French suspected the English. Everyone suspected the English railway officials, who in turn suspected the English steamship officials, who in turn suspected the French customs officials. British police officers in France and French police officers in England rubbed shoulders with private detectives hired by the banks, the railways and the shipping line. Everyone offered some sort of reward for information leading to the arrest of the villains, and informants on both sides of the Channel quickly responded with a dazzling profusion of tips and rumours. Theories about the lost gold shipment ran the gamut from the most mundane, a couple of French or English hooligans stumbling upon a fortuitous opportunity, to the most grandiose, an elaborate plot by the highest officials of the French or English government engaged in a Machiavellian scheme intended simultaneously to line their own pockets and to sour relations with their military allies. Lord Cardigan himself, the great war hero, expressed the opinion that it must surely be a clever combination of avarice and statecraft. Nevertheless, the most widespread belief on both sides of the Channel was that it was some kind of inside job. For one thing, that was how most crimes were carried out, and particularly in this case, the complexity and neatness of the theft surely pointed to inside information and cooperation. Thus, every individual who had the slightest relationship to the Crimean gold shipment came under scrutiny and was interrogated by the authorities. The zeal of the police to gather information led to some unlikely circumstances. The 10-year-old grandson of the Folkestone harbour master was tailed by a plainclothesman for several days, for reasons that no one could quite recall later on. Such incidents only increased the general confusion, and the process of interrogation dragged on for months, with each new clue and possibility receiving the full attention of an eager and fascinated press. No significant progress was made until June the 17th, nearly a month after the robbery. Then, at the insistence of the French authorities, the safes in Ostend, aboard the English steamship, and on the South Eastern Railway, were all returned to their respective manufacturers in Paris, Hamburg and London for dismantling and examination of the lock mechanisms. The chump safes were discovered to contain telltale scratches inside the locks, as well as traces of metal filings, grease and wax. The other safes showed no signs of tampering.